Great to see all of you here today. If I could get the gentleman in the back to close the door, please, and come on in. Thank you so much. I apologize for my Trenta Black Iced Tea Light Water Light Ice No Sweetener. My name is Mark on the podium, but I am not going to be able to make it without it today. I'm going to have a lot of liquid. So I hope that I'll be able to get through this without doing a coughing spell. C.S. Lewis wrote the following words. Most people, if they had really learned to look into their own hearts, would know that they do want and want acutely something that cannot be had in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give it to you, but they never quite keep their promise. Our theme this year is 2020 Focus on Faith, Hope, and Love. Last week, we looked at this important idea of faith. Today, we look at the idea of hope and focusing on that for this year. We have spoken before how we in our English language use the word hope as wish, and Jay used it that way this morning. That's kind of how we use it in our English language, probably more than the biblical way. But biblical hope is not a wish. It has nothing to do with wishing. I get a little concerned. That's hyperbole. I get a little concerned when people say things who are in the Lord like, well, I hope I'll make it to heaven. What? Of course you hope you make it to heaven, but you're using the word hope like a wish. Like, you know, if you get there, you'll be surprised. I'm hoping this morning with a clear, confident expectation that we'll do better than that at the end of this sermon, and that our focus on hope will change our lives. Because faith, even as a mustard seed, can move you into action. But hope is the thing that gives us the joy in the walk of life. And that's what we'll look at this morning. I don't think there's anything worse to the human spirit than hopelessness. You think about that for a while. Is there anything worse to the human spirit than feeling completely and utterly hopeless? Jesus Christ, when we felt completely and utterly helpless, reached down and picked us up. And so as a result of that, we are no longer in that situation. Hopelessness is a crippling, paralyzing power of Satan. He wants us to see no true, glorious future, but only what we can scrape from this earthly existence that gives us a momentary and fleeting fulfillment, which ultimately disappoints, as C.S. Lewis states. A living hope, in contrast, is something that energizes the human spirit in spite of anything. You think about some of the most amazing feats in humanity's history. And some of those are against all odds. And we think, just like Neil said this morning, can you believe that? That against all of those odds, that person overcame. And I will tell you that they did it because of some hope in their lives. We're going to be in two important scriptures this morning. The first one is going to be in Colossians, the first chapter. I have it for you on the screen, but if you'd like to open your Bibles, be at Colossians and then in Romans 5, we'll go back and forth with those, and I won't be able to have them on the screen every time that I allude to them. But this is what Paul says here in Colossians, first chapter, verse 24 through, and there's going to be another slide that'll take you to the rest of it. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. The word man there, by the way, is used in the generic sense of all mankind. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works in me. There are two major ideas that I see in this passage of Colossians regarding hope that I want to bring to your attention today. And number one is that the hope of glory produces a joyful walk. It has to. If it does not produce a joyful walk, then there is a disconnect between the hope that someone truly has in their mind and what you see in their lives. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the mystery that God said he wanted every man to know about. That phrase sums up the power of hope in life to the disciple of Christ. Because we have Christ living in us, we have hope. The hope of glory produces a joyful walk, even though Paul begins in Colossians 1:24 and says, I rejoice in my sufferings. You think about this for a moment. Neil enumerated all the things that Jesus was going to go through when he read Isaiah 53. Paul enumerates his sufferings. And yet he says, I rejoice in them. Here is how he enumerated them in 2 Corinthians. He was in danger of death. He was 5 times beaten by the Jews, 3 times beaten with rods, stoned and left for dead, 3 times shipwrecked, on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, from robbers, from the Jews, from the Gentiles, from false brothers, in dangers in cities, in wilderness areas, on the seas, in deserts, sleepless nights, in hunger, in thirst, often without food, and in cold and exposure to the elements. How can he say, I rejoice in my sufferings? There's only one way that he can say that. He is hopeful for something better in the future. Paul said it very, very clearly about hopelessness in 1 Corinthians 15 when he said, if we have hoped in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. He says, if this life in Christ is only about this life right here, and I don't have any hope to the future, we are really wretched people that just need a whole lot of pity. But that's not the case. What awaits us is so amazing, so great, and so wonderful that Paul could say, I rejoice in my sufferings. There are times when it is so cold outside, and I know I'm a California wimp, okay? When I'm driving home, and I know how cold it is, and I think about homeless people, and I think, they don't have a bed to go to. And I get to go into a warm house, a beautiful house, and just lie down in a bed that'll keep me warm. And it's such a beautiful thing. And Paul says that he was in exposure and in the cold and exposed to all the elements many times. And yet he rejoiced in this. I love that thought. Our hope is real, but we must remember that the realization of our hope is delayed. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, delayed gratification is not something that we hallow in the United States of America. At the age of 18, you will be sent a credit card with at least $500 limit on it, so that you do not have to delay your gratification anymore. And even though wisdom says, delay the gratification, don't do that, we sometimes foolishly do it. I think that's something we've got to teach our children, and I think we have to have them experience it. If they do not experience it, they don't learn it. And then they grow up one day and someone teaches them a gospel about delayed gratification and they go, I don't want that. I can't handle that. That's too much for me. I have to have my gratification right now. In spite of everything that can come upon us, and I am willing to say right now, that none of us in this room have experienced the kind of trials in total that Paul has and had. He said that he rejoiced. That's an amazing thing. That is an amazing thing. What kind of man was he? Just some sort of, I don't know, crazy individual that just loved being stoned? No, I don't think so. Did he really enjoy it when false brothers followed him around and the Gentiles got, the Jews got the Gentiles to actually imprison him in Philippi? And he's sitting there in chains? But remember what he was doing with Silas in chains on a cold, dank floor? He's singing hymns. It could be like, oh, how I love Jesus in Hebrew. Or Greek, whatever that is. But he's singing those things. And then, a great earthquake happens and he's released. And I know what a lot of you are thinking. Well, if my trials were like that and they ended in a miraculous earthquake that released me from them, I could deal with trials on this earth. I have to say to me and to you, I don't believe you when we say things like that. We can deal with whatever comes along if we have a true and living hope. I want to ask you a question. If our hope is truly delayed and it is essentially in an otherworldly place that we are knowing we will go to, not wishing, but knowing we will go to, then doesn't it put everything in perspective? And in fact, doesn't it place the perspective of how you live your life in trials as a witness to the world? It concerns me when I see someone who says, I'm just all the time sad, and I'm all the time woeful, and I'm all the time anxious, and I'm all the time fearful. What has Christ given you in life if you're living life that way? In spite of whatever he brings upon you, I know this. You can be, and I can be, joyful. I look at my father in the flesh, who was a brilliant man, the president of his class, a great debater, and an amazing gospel preacher in his early 20s. And one day, a stroke takes it all from him for the rest of his earthly life. All I can say to that is, I remember my father as a joyful man. And everybody else at his funeral said the same thing. He always made me laugh. He always made me smile. When I would go get groceries from him, he would make me just feel great. So here was a person who wanted to be a missionary and go off into the world and teach and preach. And he had it all planned out, what he was going to do. And it was all taken from him with the exception of his hope in Jesus Christ. And he was joyful. So he taught me by that witness that no matter what happens, that I can do a walk in joy. I want us to look now at Romans, the 5th chapter. Again, I have it on the screen, but I'm going to allude back to it if you'd like to go there. Romans, the 5th chapter. Paul says this, same writer. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we, and listen, exult, and I'm going to come back to that word, in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, a proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Why not, Paul? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The greatest, every disciple of Christ has the greatest gift that you could ever, ever get. And that is the love of God poured out on the Holy Spirit in your body. That is an amazing thing. God doesn't do that in order for you to have a life that is morosely living. You know, you need to recognize, I need to recognize, that a joyful walk is a witness to the world. It is a witness to the world because this world is messed up. So in contrast, if they see you joyfully walking, then they recognize right away something's different about that person. And they want what is different. Therefore, I didn't put it on the board. I'm going on. The second big thing that I learned from Colossians, the 1st chapter, is that ministry, your work in the Lord, your gift giving in the Lord, your individual part in the body of Christ is given true purpose in hope. What's the true purpose? Well, Paul references so many times to his ministry in Colossians, the first chapter. Notice how he says things like, I did all of this in this suffering, but notice I did it on my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. He was made a minister according to the stewardship that God bestowed on him so that he might fully carry out the preaching of the word, the mystery that was hidden, how now been manifested, and he, by God's will, was making known what the riches of the glory of the mystery was to Gentiles, which a Jew would have never thought would have happened, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so he proclaimed him, he warned every man and woman, teaching every man and woman with all wisdom and presenting everyone so that they would be complete in Christ. And for this purpose, he says, I labor according to his power, which mightily works in me. Wow, the hope that he has, the hope of glory that he has, gives him true purpose in ministry. And it ought to do the same for us. The goal, did you notice that? Is to present every man complete in Christ. Do you remember Jerry Maguire? Do you remember the end of the story when he's trying really hard to express his true feelings for the girl? And he starts, and he can hardly get through it. But he says some words that I think have been repeated a whole lot of times. They were a classic moment in that movie. After he says the words, I love you, then he said the words, you complete me. And although he tried to go on, she said, shut up. Shut up. You had me at hello. And everybody in America who was watching it went, oh, you know. And then they hugged and they kissed, and everybody in the room in the movie went, oh, you know. I will tell you what could you do more in ministry than assist someone in being complete in Christ? What would be a greater service? Every once in a while, a kid will come to me and say something that I think is so funny. And I don't know why they say it. I don't get it. But it doesn't matter. I don't have to get it. But they say things like, Mr. K, why don't you run for president? And what I want to say is, I'm doing a much more important work in the body of Christ than to be president of the United States, which no one would ever want me to be, I'm sure, because I'm not that politically correct. I wouldn't make it, okay? So I want to say that to them, but I just say something like, well, how would I teach you if I'm president? And then they just go on their merry way. They're so simple with that. Oh, yeah. You know, of course. What our ministry is all about, the end goal is to present every person complete in Christ. What could be more important than that? The smallest thing that you do, as Jesus said, like a cup of cold water to somebody who's in need, or the largest thing that you can think that you do or will ever do doesn't compare to the mystery of how God works in his body in order to bring us all to completeness. So I say to you, I love you, and you complete me. And I think that's how we have to think of each other. And when we do that, we recognize that hope not only gives us a joyful walk, it gives us a purposeful walk. So we're going to have a ministry fair here February 9th. That's the date that we've chosen. And I just want to ask you this question. Have you decided on a ministry or ministries you have determined to be your focus in 2020? Maybe you have. Maybe it's the same that you had in 2019. But if you haven't, your shepherds, your leaders here, encourage you to pray and ask God to lead you to choose one or more. And always remember, you are needed to complete all of us. That is a beautiful thing. Let's make 2020 the best year ever at the Canyon Church. Will you please pray with me? Our Father, we thank you so much for the amazing, sure, and confident hope that you have given us in Christ Jesus. We know by this hope and by faith, we recognize and move for you in the knowledge that no matter what happens in this life, what cannot be taken from us is the love of Christ that is poured out in our spirits by your Holy Spirit being in us. No one can ever take that from us, Father, because it is otherworldly. Help us to live in the other world, really. Never being of this world, but recognizing that for a temporary being, time period, we are in the world. God, give us strength in our ministries this year. Help us to truly get into the work of completing one another and sharing to the world that they can be complete in Christ and that your gift is to all. That's what you want. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, next week is going to be 3D Sunday. Bring your glasses. Find the ones that have the little nose on them as well and just put them on. If you don't know what 3D Sunday is, come. You'll enjoy it. I won't be preaching. You'll really enjoy it. Okay? And then the following week will be our Focus 2020 on love. Have a great week in the Lord, everyone.